The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. We find often in the course of human history, it's better for people to work in pairs. When Jesus sent the 72 out in the gospel, he sent them out two by two. And when we look at the mystery of the church, the body of Christ, it's not just St. Peter we have to look at, and it's not just St. Paul we have to look at. Oftentimes when I ask my students a question, I say, "Is the church important for Peter or for Paul?" The answer to that question is yes, it's both. And as Catholics, we've got to get used to saying yes a lot. We have to walk and chew gum at the same time. Catholics in our faith are multitaskers. We have to recognize where we're at and where we need to be and how we're going to get there. And when we look at the life of St. Peter and we look at the life of St. Paul, we begin to understand why the Lord works the way that he does. We just heard from St. Matthew's Gospel, St. Peter's proclamation of Jesus, "You are the Son of God," and therefore now Jesus is called the Rock, or Rocky. No Adrian jokes out there. It's Rocky. He's going to be the foundation. He is going to be the unchanging part of the church, the core deposit of the faith. He is going to express for us who we are as Catholics, who we are as Christians. The sons and daughters of God, created in the image and likeness of God, sinners, obviously. St. Peter denied the Lord three times. And yet, even though that was the case, the Lord forgave and the Lord sent out again, because the Lord looked into Peter's heart and said, "Yes, this person's a little bit messed up, but this person is capable of great love. And where there is the capability for great love, there's the capability for great holiness and great faithfulness." That's what I keep hoping the Lord sees in me, because I'm pretty messed up sometimes. But the same is true for St. Paul. You have another man, very intelligent, whereas St. Peter was the fisherman, the one out there in the boat with the spray hitting his face and catching the fish. Paul is the scholar. He sat at the feet of the great Rabbi Gamaliel to learn the Jewish law, and he was zealous for the law, so much so that he went after the Christians. And Jesus says, "Somebody like that, I need to get in my corner. If he's got that much love and that much passion for faith, I need to show him the real faith." And so we know what happened. St. Paul was on the road to Damascus. Jesus decided to introduce himself to him. And St. Paul all of a sudden decided the way to heaven is not the path through Jerusalem, it's the path through Jesus. So when we begin to see the importance that these two men have in our faith, we recognize we have to be a little bit of Peter and a little bit of Paul. We got to have both. We got to recognize who we are at the core of our being. But then with St. Paul, we have to recognize who we are created to be. What is our destiny? How do we become the children of God that Jesus has created us and destined us to be? And to answer that question, we look to St. Paul. We read his letters, the letters to the Corinthians, the letters to the Galatians, the letter to the Philippians, to the Ephesians, all those letters in which he is dealing with people on a one-to-one basis as an individual community who are struggling to live their faith every single day. And Paul comes in as their pastor and says, this is what you must keep in mind. Never lose sight of Christ. And to never lose sight of Christ, you must then also look to Peter. Because Peter is the one who tells us who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. But Peter does that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's how Paul is always working. And so we see, yes, there is something essential and unchangeable about the church, but Paul says the church must continually go out. We are a missionary church, and one of the functions, I hope, of parish festivals is not just to raise money and drink a little or a lot of beer and gamble a little bit or a lot. I mean, those things happen. Nothing wrong with them as long as it's done in moderation. At least the gambling. I won't speak to the beer drinking. I've had too many festival masses, and they just are ugly. My face wilts. The body of Christ. Amen. That's a beautiful one. That's for sure. But festivals, believe it or not, are very Pauline because we're inviting people to come in. We're going out to them and saying, this is who we are as a parish community. Not a bunch of beer drinkers and gamblers, I hope. No, something more than that. People who are gathered together, centered around the love of Jesus Christ in his church, love and concern for one another, seeking to spread that love in the world. And that's what Paul is trying to do. And so as churches, the church in Ephesus probably didn't have a parish festival, but the church in Ephesus definitely knew how to go out and spread Christ. When we think about those images, we got to have Peter and Paul. We can't just be all St. Paul and go out in new areas and do new things. We do that, we lose our identity. We have to recognize our roots and those unchangeable roots that we have. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, a full human nature, a full divine nature, and truly God, who was raised from the dead physically, and who sits at the right hand of the Father, and who is now leading us through the Holy Spirit to reach him again. To return to him. This is the core of our faith. And when we recognize the church as both St. Peter and St. Paul, then we see that the Catholic faith is not some static monolith that never changes. Rather, we see ourselves commonly have to grow. We have to grow our understanding of ourselves in the image and likeness of Christ. But we see we have to meet people in the world and we have to preach the gospel, the truth in the world. And sometimes that means we're going to be misunderstood. Sometimes it means we're going to be rejected, just as it happened with Jesus. And we have to be willing to take that risk. But we bring the gospel, we bring it into new areas, we bring it to people who haven't heard it before. We bring it to people who haven't heard it in a while. But the mission of the church is a living mission. Our faith is a living faith. And because of that, it's something that we need to be engaged in every single day. As our faith living as individuals, we got to be both Peter and Paul. As Peter, we know where we come from. We know the core of our faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me on the cross that I might have life. He gives me his word in sacred scripture. He gives me the sacraments. The sacrament of penance, that I may be healed from sin. The sacrament of his body and blood, that I may continue to grow in holiness and achieve the goal Christ has destined for me to achieve. And in the midst of all those roots that we have of the core of our faith, of the creed that we're going to profess in a couple minutes, we also have St. Paul. And St. Paul says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel in word and deed. Woe to me if I don't treat people with kindness and generosity. Woe if I do not treat people with hospitality, even if I'm treated badly. Always bring forth the grace of Christ and do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is constantly lighting us up, constantly moving us forward, that we can be the people of this body of Christ, Christ's church. Given to us through the example of St. Peter, the rock, and St. Paul, the missionary. That's our faith. And what a wonderful faith it is. It's an exciting faith. Catholicism is many things. Boring is not one of them. And if people are bored with their faith, it's probably because they haven't really looked at their faith very closely, or they haven't lived it very fully. Because once we begin that life of prayer, the life of the sacraments, the life of service to others in our family, in our workplace, and in the world in general, we said, this is what's keeping me alive. This is the food. Christ is my food and drink. Literally, not in the Eucharist and in my prayer. I cannot live without Jesus. St. Peter shows us that. He went to the cross for that. St. Paul shows us that. He was executed, beheaded for that. St. Paul's great goal was to go to the Roman emperor and preach the gospel to him. Now that's shooting high. We don't know if he made it there. But we do know, not too many people remember the Roman emperor at that time, but we do remember St. Paul. We remember him every day. Remember him in his letters, because God's word comes to us through Paul's lips. So on this great feast of Peter and Paul, let us rejoice in our church. A church which is ever ancient, rooted in the confession of St. Peter that Jesus is the Son of God, and rooted in the confession of St. Paul, which is to go out to all the nations, to all the individuals, and bring Christ to them in word and in deed. Let's be grateful for that. And let us pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the motivation and the energy and the love, that Christ will look in our heart and see that love that he saw in Peter and Paul and say, you are capable of great love. You are capable of being a great saint. Look to Peter and look to Paul. Ask their help. Ask the help of the Blessed Mother. And what has been planted in you will then come to full fruit when we come to meet Christ, when he comes at the end of the world.